Hi, I'm in the studio on a warm and humid Tuesday morning with a special guest here at KXCI, Mark Guerrero, who is from Palm Springs, California, but whose roots to Tucson, El Viejo Pueblo, go far and wide. He is the son of Tucson's icon, Lalo Guerrero. Mark, bienvenido a Tucson once again. Good to see you here.
Thank you. I always love coming here. It's like a second hometown to me.
I can imagine it is a second home to you. You have family here, and of course, this is the birthplace of your father as well as your mother
And my brother.
and your brother, your older brother Dan. You're visiting family here, and also this is your first visit to Tucson since your father's memorial service earlier this year.
Yes, it is.
Was it a little harder coming back to Tucson this time?
It feels emotional, a little more emotional. But I also brought my 10-year-old daughter, and it's her first trip here.
Is it?
So I brought my mom and my daughter, and we're going to visit all my dad's landmarks in Tucson, where he was born, and the different houses he lived in, and my mom's landmarks, and do a tour, take pictures of everything.
What are some of those landmarks that you'll be visiting?
Well,
The house is still there, right?
my dad's birthplace, birth house in Barrio Viejo, which used to be called Barrio Libre, right?
Right.
His birthplace, his home on he grew up in on Meyer Street. That's where he had his happiest childhood years, on Meyer Street. And then his parents' house, the one that I used to visit as a child, and I forgot the name of the street, but we used to come there every summer, and I haven't seen that house in 30
Is it
years.
still standing?
Yes, it
Is it
is.
on Convent?
No, no,
No.
no. It's not in the
Oh, it's not in the
barrio.
barrio.
It's in a barrio, but it's not in that barrio. And all I can tell you is when I used to go there, it had dirt streets. There were no paved streets. It was a nice house. And all the family would meet there every summer, and I have great memories. My grandparents died in the 70s. So I haven't been there since then. So I'd love to see that. And where my parents got married and all the
They got
stuff.
married just around the block here at
Isn't that the same place we had
St. Augustine Cathedral.
the memorial? Same
We
place?
had the memorial service there where your
That's right.
parents got married. We'll talk a little bit more about your father. But another reason that you're here is to promote a new musical project that you have going. You are no stranger to music. You grew up with music in your household with your father, and you yourself had a good career with Mark and the Escorts, and you've had other musical
And Tango
projects.
in the 70s, a credit for A&M and et cetera.
But today your new project involves some old school Chicano rock and rollers and some R&B singers. Tell us a little about your project.
Okay, well, I have my own band now called
Okay.
Marco and Radio Aslan, and we do my material. We've done many concerts with Malo, Tierra El Chicano, all the Chicano groups, some very nice venues. But this kind of came up through fate. I had done a gig with Steve Salas, the original lead vocalist of Tierra, who sang their big hit together. We did a gig in El Paso in April together, and no pun intended, together. And anyway, so it turns out that he had a band, and they did a couple of shows with Richard Bean, the original vocalist from Malo, who sang their big hit Suavecito, and he was also the main writer of Suavecito, and he performed on the bill, and Jorge Santana came into the band.
The
So
guitarist of
yeah,
Malo.
the original guitarist of Malo, and so now you had like this all-star review, and they did a gig up in Sacramento, California, and they did one near Santa Barbara, and brought the house down. And then I got a call from their manager suggesting maybe I do some shows with them as well. And so that's how this happened. And we're at the moment we're calling it the Chicano Latin Soul Review.
Which is a good name. It's an all-encompassing name.
And there's also the possibility we could bring in Bobby Espinosa, the founder and leader of El Chicano. So we'll have like all the main Chicano groups covered in one show. And so I came and spoke to people from Chicanos por la Causa about possibly playing at their big Viva Tucson thing next year.
Next
So,
year. You, of course, have a strong connection to the East LA sound, the old Chicano rock sound, which is not as vibrant as it was, of course, at one time, but it's still alive. There still seems to be a hunger for it from old fans and new fans. Is that what you are coming to find, or?
Oh yeah. Well, it was. I call it the golden age of East LA Chicano music, because in the mid-60s, there were maybe hundreds of bands. It was like Liverpool might have been at the same time, and three of them had national hits: the Premiers, the Blendells, Cannibal Headhunters. had national hits. Cannibal and the Headhunters toured with the Beatles. And Little Willie G and the Midnighters came out of that. Los Lobos eventually evolved out of that. Tierra El Chicano evolved out of that 60s East Side sound.
And so did you.
And I was part of it as well. I had a group called Mark and the Escorts. Then we became the Men from Sound. And then we became 1984 during the psychedelic years. And then in the 70s, we shared the same manager with Tierra and a group called Yaki. And I had a group called Tango, recorded for A&M. So East L.A. was a huge, huge scene and very seminal in Chicano music history. And I was lucky enough to growing up right in that spot with that hotbed.
But that musical wave almost disappeared. You had disco coming in, right. Rock had a resurgence.
And then what happened in the 90s is it got a rebirth because several things happened. A book came out called Land of a Thousand Dances that chronicled that history. Vario Rhythms came out that chronicled a lot of that history, University of Chicago Press by Steve Losa. And a lot of compilations started coming out. The Chicano Alliance, East Side Sound Volumes 1 through 4 on Varese Saraband Records, East Side Sound Volumes 1 and 2 from Dionysus Records, on which Mark and the Escorts recordings are on that. So there's just a lot of articles in different, collectors magazines and record magazines and newspapers. A lot of articles have come out. And so there's a lot of attention was paid to that. Then there started a lot of these bands started to reunite.
Milo has reunited. Yeah. Tierra has reunited.
And even
times.
A lot of the East L.A. groups that didn't go national, the Blue Satins and all kinds of the groups from back then are getting back together again and playing. So
is it pure nostalgia, or is there also an element, a contemporary element of some new sounds being incorporated?
Well, some of the groups are nostalgic. You know, they're just doing what they were doing back then. There's also a band out called the East L.A. All-Star Review, and it's a band of musicians from that era, from different bands that do all the big hits from that era, and they keep that sound alive. But what was your question?
Are these groups purely nostalgic, or are they incorporating new music?
Well, there's some that are, incorporating new. And, there's a group that was called the Village Callers in way back in the 60s. They evolved into a group called Chico, and they are a tremendous band in L.A. And they do the rock and old school, but they do serious salsa, and they do contemporary Latin music. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of new young groups coming up.
How does a group, for example, new young groups, how does a group like Oso Motley, which is out of Los Angeles and has critical acclaim, how does that group fit in with the old East L.A. sound? Is there a direct connection?
Well, there might be. There might be an influence. But, Oso Motley, from what I understand, are very multiracial, right?
Yes, they are.
They're not a Chicano group.
No.
A lot of people think of them as. But they have whites, blacks, Asians.
Asians, right.
Yeah, so it's truly multicultural, but they do a lot of Latino groove stuff amongst their other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll bet you that they, you know that they have an influence from Los Lobos and various, from that musical heritage. I'm sure that they have some influence. So they're part of it, but they're kind of a different thing, too.
You mentioned Little Willie G a moment ago.
Yes.
One of the great singers of the East L.A. sound. For many of the fans, at least maybe outside of Tucson, outside of L.A., people like here in Tucson probably thought he had disappeared, but he is still singing, and he is on the recent project, Rye Cooter's Chavez Ravine project, as well as your father. It's his last studio recordings.
Yes, and also on the album is Don Tosti, Chicano music legend, and Ercy Arvizu, who in the 60s was in an East L.A. group called The Sisters. They were very popular. They were sort of like the Diana Ross and the Supremes of East L.A., three girls up front. And then she was lead vocalist with El Chicano in 1970 and sang their classic version of Sabor
a Mi. Right.
And she's on this project, too, singing three or four songs. And so it's got a strong East L.A. contingent there on the Rye Cooter project.
Now, the Rye Cooter project, his new one, Chavez Ravine, is getting a lot of airplay here on this station, KXCI. It's the only station in town that plays Rye Cooter's music. And it is it's a very almost operatic in a sense. It's telling the story of the destruction in the 50s of Chavez Ravine, a classic Chicano neighborhood outside of downtown L.A., and was destroyed to make room for the Los Angeles Dodgers
Stadium.
And on the album is your father's Mi Viejo Barrio,
Barrio Viejo,
Barrio Viejo which is your father's musical account of the destruction of his barrio to make room for the Tucson Convention Center here in the 60s. Tell us about the link between the song and your father and Ry Cooder's Chavez Ravine project.
I think how it happened was there was a book put out and a documentary on PBS about the destruction of Chavez Ravine, and there was a photographer named Don Normark who, when he was a student at SC in 1949, happened to go into the Chavez Ravine barrio and take maybe hundreds of photographs of the families, of the houses. It was just an interesting place to him. Mm-hmm. It's an Anglo, Don Normark. And he took all these photos. Eventually, it recently came out in a book form. There was a documentary made for it. And they wound up using my dad's barrio viejo in that documentary. And I understand Ry Cooder may have heard barrio viejo on that documentary. And the documentary itself helped to inspire him to do this project. Also, he had heard my dad's music on an album release called Pachuco Boogie. Mm-hmm. Our Huli Records put out Pachuco Boogie a few years ago and had a lot of Don Tosti's material, his Pachuco Boogie Boys mm-hmm. material. And it had my dad's Chuco Suaves and Marijuana Boogie, and it had like three of my dad's cuts on there.
With the original group, Los Cinco Lobos.
Right.
A very early group of
yes.
your father's.
And so Ry heard that, and it really knocked his socks off. So I think those things sort of kind of triggered mm-hmm. the whole project.
At what point did Ry Cooder contact your father and ask him to participate in the project?
It was about probably late 2002. And what's funny about it, this is a little aside, was he called my dad up personally and asked him to write a song for this project that he was thinking about. And frankly, since my dad's in Chicano music, Latin music, he didn't know who Ry Cooder was. Mm-hmm. And he called me up and he said, this guy called me up, Cy Cooder? I said, Dad, it's Ry Cooder. You know, I said, he's a very influential person in the music business and a great talent in his own right. And so it just so happened that my dad went on a trip, and weeks went by, and finally Ry came down to Palm Springs to visit my dad, and I was there. I met Ry. And it took a little doing to get my dad to write the song. You know, he was getting old, and and finally he wrote the song. Ry loved it. He wrote a special song for the project called Corrido de Boxeo.
Right.
He wrote that for the project. Mm-hmm.
And it's a song about some young boxers
that lived in Chavez Ravine.
Lived in Chavez Ravine.
That my dad remembered. Mm-hmm. So that's what got it rolling. And my dad was the first sessions for the album. They took place in January, I believe, 2003. And because my dad was pretty frail at that time, physically mm-hmm. and somewhat mentally, he was very forgetful. So I went to assist, and I helped facilitate the recording in terms of having the lyrics for my dad there, cueing him when to come in, mm-hmm. Helping with the musicians with the songs because I was very familiar with Barrio Viejo, the new song Corrido de Boxeo, and the third song was Los Chuco Suaves, which I'm very familiar with. So,
and again, he recorded that one.
He recorded that again. And the sessions took place over 2 days, and it was a great experience for me and for my dad. Wonderful musicians like the legendary Jim Keltner on drums, who's mm-hmm. played for George Harrison and Neil Young and everybody you could think of, who's half Chicano, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And Flaco Jimenez was there, and it was a tremendous experience.
Pardon the question, but I can't imagine that anyone thought that this would be your father's last studio recording, or did you, or maybe your father talk about
much,
it?
No, I think, well, my dad, like I said, he was starting to suffer from a little bit of dementia, you mm-hmm. know, but I think we were all pretty aware that this would be the last thing because he wouldn't have been capable physically mm-hmm. Or mentally to do anything after that. So it was, he got it in right under the wire, really. It's perfect, mm-hmm. perfect timing.
Now, in this brief retrospect, not only is it the last studio recordings of your father, but again, as we mentioned, Don Tosti, who
right.
was a contemporary of your father,
right.
who established that Pachuco Boogie sound, who he himself is a legendary
right.
Musical figure. As you look back at this record, which just came out last month, does it has to make it a very special album.
Oh, it makes it, it's totally historic. And the fact that Don and my dad passed away before it was released, it adds so much emotion and mm-hmm. history to it. Yeah, and Don Tosti, you know, he started out in the big bands. He played mm-hmm. bass with a lot of the big bands, Charlie Barnett, Jack Teagarden, Jimmy Dorsey. And that's how he started as mm-hmm. a bass player. And then he later formed the Pachuco Boogie Boys when he came to L.A. And then he had a Latin orchestra after that. He was an arranger, a songwriter, a very talented musician. And when he did this project too, he didn't know he was sick. He didn't find out till near the end that he was terminal.
Now, Don Tosti and your father were almost neighbors. Didn't they live almost in the same...
Well, they lived a few miles away. Mm-hmm. They were always sort of friendly competitors, you know?
Sure.
And I don't know how much I should say on the radio, but there's always been sort of a slight controversy of who did the Pachuco stuff first. And I, you know, not just because he's my dad, I'm mm-hmm. I'm fairly positive my mm-hmm. dad did it long before he did. I did call the owner of Arhuli Records, who released the Pachuco Boogie CD, and I asked him about it, and he thought my dad had done it before. And the reason why we're all pretty sure is my dad was, when he was with Imperial Records in the late 40s, he started out with the Trio Imperial, mm-hmm. and they did about 12 Pachuco songs as a trio. Uh-huh. So my dad's first Pachuco songs and first records with Caló on them, which are probably the first time Caló was ever on record, were done with the Trio Imperial in trio form. He did El Pachuco, La Pachuquilla, El Pachuco y El Tarzán, Los Comadres Apachucadas. He had all these different songs, you know, in that genre. And then he formed the Cinco Lobos, and he did Marihuana Boogie mm-hmm. and the swing and the blues and all that. And Don was somewhere in that era.
In that era.
Not the earlier era.
Yeah. And, of course, that Pachuco Boogie music came back in the mid-70s with the Zoot Suit play.
Right, where they picked up my dad's music and they put three or four of his songs in the play and movie.
When your father passed away earlier this year, most, if not all, of the media that reported on his passing, from the New York Times to the LA Times to the local newspapers here in Tucson, talked about your father in terms of being not just a legend, but a true musical innovator, an American musical icon, not a Chicano musical icon, although he is considered the godfather or the father of Chicano music, I should say, the father of Chicano music, but a true American legend, and he has been honored as that. What are some of the thoughts, and there are some talk here in Tucson about honoring your father, creating a museum. There's an idea of renaming the music hall at the Tucson Convention Center in your father. How far along are those ideas?
Well, I know my brother was here a couple of weeks ago regarding the museum. I think they're in the early stages. You know, I think there's going to be a lot of work and effort to make this happen. Hopefully it will. There was also talk of a statue of him in Barrio Libre. I mean, I would assume maybe someday they'll make his birthplace a little museum. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
What would you like the listeners of KXCI, those many listeners who do appreciate your father's music, because we continue to play it here at KXCI, what would you like the listeners to do? If they could do something.
Well, let's see. Do you think it would help if they called their city council people?
That would help.
You know, and just say, you know, we'd like him commemorated and mm-hmm. and in such a way. I mean, he had a musical legacy of 60 years of writing and recording and what a tremendous career. And he, you know, as Linda Ronstadt called him, the first great Chicano musical artist, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nobody close to mm-hmm. his legacy.
Well, that's... That would be a great thing to do here in Tucson, to honor him and honor the family. Because, again, the musical legacy continues with you and the project you're putting together or helping put together, Chicano Latin Soul Review. Mark Guerrero, it's a pleasure that you're here in town.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy your stay with your familia. Yeah. And you know your familia is always here for you at Tucson and at KXCI. Mark, muchas gracias.
Thanks for having me.